Hi, my name is Jeff Pagano, and welcome to the Harpenden Rugby Podcast, the Leinster and Ireland fan site in audio form. This is the third in our series of pre-season pods. Later in the week, we'll be covering the other clubs in the United Rugby Championship, but here we're taking our final look at Leinster's options in the various positions for the 2021-22 season, focusing on the front row and centres. And at the end, I'll give you the ideal starting 15 as chosen by the contributors. So without any further ado, here's how we get on. Now joining me to discuss Leinster's front row options for the 21-22 season is someone getting his 11th cap in the pot today. And a warm welcome to the man himself, Mr. Conor Cronin. How's it going, sir?
Great, and thanks for having me.
We're looking at the front row, and actually you were the first to volunteer. I put all the spots up for grabs and you jumped in with the front row, so that's what you were going for.
Yeah, I kind of figured it's the only place where if everybody's fit and everybody's ready to go, you'd have your nailed on starters. You know, they say tight head should be your first name on the sheet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it made sense to me to volunteer for one that mightn't be too taxing for any of us to think about or to have a look at.
Yeah, and there are some interesting names in reserve. So we'll have a look through. No better place to start than number one, my old position. One of the things I've noticed with all these different units is in a large number, like most of the positions, you've got a situation where there's one player who's kind of in his kind of golden years. And there's a few, vying to take his place. Like we had, Sexton, Devin Toner, things like that, Dave Carney. And it's no real different here. We got Cian Healy going another year, looking as good as ever. How do you see his prospects for the season?
I think Cian Healy he needs to have a really good season. I think he wants to be there pushing towards France in 2023. And if he has a good, solid season this year, stays injury-free, he's in with a good shout for his Ireland place next year. But for this season, I can't see past anyone on the big match days when you want your best out there. You can't see past Cian Healy at the moment. I have a lot of respect for Byrne and for Dooley. And I think both of them are really showing that, you know, they're good, solid people to have, but there's something extra in Healy's locker that they don't seem to have just yet. Mm-hmm. And I think I think on those big match days, you'd have to assume Ed Byrne would get the nod on the bench, but that's purely because at this stage he's got the international caps and all the experience that comes with that. Do I think he's a better scrummager? I don't know about that. I think I quite like Dooley. I think there's a lot to his game. I think he's happy to do dirty work as well, you know, to get around the field, to hit rucks, to shove men over, things like that. Healy would be my first choice all day.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, it's really an experience thing, isn't it? Such a crucial position in the front row. I mean, if you've got someone, that's literally been through the wars like Healy has over the years, you'd want him in the squad. I mean, obviously there's always going to be fitness concerns and issues. And you've got to be ready for a situation where he's not around for the big games. Ed Byrne's spent a lot of time in international camp. And Dooley, I'm always impressed with Dooley when he comes on. It's not just scrummaging. It's just confidence all around the park. I mean, this guy was playing an AIL final about 5 years ago, or I think something like that for his club. Yeah. Whenever he's there, it's not even just the basic, he gets involved in, if the ball's there. I remember when I always say when I used to play, I was told if you see the ball there in a ruck, you just step over it, forget it. It's not there.
But it's modern props.
Exactly. Modern props though are different. If he sees it there and there's no scrum half, he'll make the pass. He won't just throw throw a regular pass, he'll throw an inside pass, he'll throw a dummy pass. He's like nothing. He's very natural out there. And this is our third string.
Throw a hospital pass. I think that's the really important thing.
And this is our third string. Yeah. I know, it's crazy. I mean, and we're still on the loose head. I mean, when we get to the tight end, we're talking another embarrassment of riches. But I'd like to focus just a little bit on what we have in the loose head prop side of things, and Michael Milne as well.
He's a really promising lad coming through. You know, he's not the finished article by any means. And he's not coming out in the kind of way that someone like, just you mentioned the tight heads, you know, the likes of Furlong, who came into the academy and suddenly came out of the academy because he was ready to make the step up. Milne still, he's got some work to do. But I don't see how that's a bad thing. I don't see how it's a bad thing to have really strong fellas in front of you where when you get your chances, you've got to show that you've earned that chance and you've the right to be there.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a lot of potential.
Absolutely. Milne was one of this kind of mini squad of Leinster players last season who we had a separate side that was getting us through the Pro 14. And There was an extra squad off that, sort of an A1 squad that were always on the bench for all these matches. So they always had just 20 minutes of game time at a time. But boy, were they putting the effort in. I mean, that's why we had those 50-point blowouts last season and kept the other team score down, because these guys were coming on. They wanted to tackle. They wanted to show they could do it. They knew they had that 20-minute window. And Milne was one of those. He brought in some really strong carries in those little cameos.
It's the great thing about how the coaching ticket has been working. It's bringing on these young guys and showing a bit of faith in them and not putting them in situations where they'll be deer in the headlights. It's putting them in situations where, now, everything we did in training, we know you can do it there. Show me you can do it here as well. And he is. He's one of those who's taken that step. He's said, okay, yeah, right, here, I'll do it. I'll make those tackles. I'll hit those rucks. I'll do what I have to do to show that I'm learning and I'm doing I'm doing my job right.
Absolutely. And a couple of academy players there, Marcus Hannon. I think he got some gay time in the Six Nations there. And young Jack Boyle is only 18 out of Michaels. You know, they'll get game time in maybe a bit of AIL rugby with any luck, and just to get them ready. And you never know, God forbid though, with injuries, a couple of them might get called up. But I think pretty well we're well stocked, and we're European ready as well, I'd say, with those three at the forefront now.
The loose head. As I say, as long as everybody stays injury free, that's the key. But with that said, if you ended up in a situation where you had one of Byrne or Dooley and then Michael Milne on the bench, even for a European game, I think he's got that confidence now, and he's been building as a player, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the bench for a European game this season.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, well, we'll move on now to hooker. This is an interesting one because we've got tons of experience. There's four players there. If you rank them in order, well, four senior players there. If you rank them in order of age, you've got two real experienced test appearances and all that kind of stuff. And then you've got two younger guys. But in sort of contrast to what we're saying for the props, it's the other two that we might want to bring on a bit more.
Yeah, I think the younger two in this, because the four you're mentioning, the older two being Sean Cronin, who is 35. And I wouldn't have been surprised if last year had been his final season. I would be surprised if this year isn't. I think this year will be his last contract. And that'll be a pity to see him go, because I've really enjoyed watching him. And you know, when the Leinster singing section had, there's only one Sean Cronin who runs like a cheetah and throws like a cheetah. we'll get to the dart issues in a minute. You know, he's been great to watch over the years, and it'll be a pity when he does go. But he's got young fellas coming up behind him who are proving that they have the potential to be better than he ever was. And I think in particular, Ronan Kelleher, who... You don't get called up to the Lions by accident. And okay, he didn't play at all while he was there. But you don't get called into a training squad, and you don't get asked to be somebody who helps
these other fellas train just because you're good at carrying a tackle bag.
Mm-hmm.
It's way beyond that at that level. So clearly, not only has he got the potential, but the potential is visible to some of the best coaches in the world. I'm not suggesting for a second that Warren Gatland is the best coach in the world, but he is good at spotting potential. And I think, you know, you only have to look at how many caps George North has so far, because Gatland spotted potential in him young and early.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Gatlin, I mean, no matter who the Lions coach is, just the fact that he's gotten that endorsement from outside the Irish system, because the Irish system is so insular, you're brought up and a lot of times you're tagged at under 18 level, and it's almost that tag is still there no matter how you're playing when you get to senior level, when you stay. But if you get recognized and get called up by the Lions, and there were others that could have gone instead of him, when that spot opens, you know,
The Irish setup.
Yeah.
In the Irish setup, where everybody's been saying, oh, sure, Rob Herring, you know, he's clearly the next in line. But is he?
Mm.
Is he the next in line for the Irish jersey?
That's the thing.
If this younger player is getting called up for something bigger ahead of him. And absolutely. I think that the Irish setup need to look at that carefully and question. And it's no disrespect to Herring, who I think is a good player. It's just a matter of what's Kelleher got and what's being seen from him, and how do we make the best use of that?
Yeah,
I think Leinster will.
Yeah, it's all the different skills you want out of a hooker. I mean, but as you said yourself, the elephant in the room in this is obviously the lineouts, and it's just something that Ireland. Leinster and Ireland just simply have to get right, because it's how they play. A lot of their whole game plan is almost built around needing a functioning lineout, and you create attacking opportunity after attacking opportunity. You fight to win penalties in midfield just to get those opportunities in around the 22, and then you fluff the lineout. How many times have we seen that happen? So
you throw it crooked, or it's overthrown, or you've missed the jumper, or whatever it is. And I would love to see, coming into the new season, that's what's been worked on most over the course of the off-season.
And obviously, making sure the lineout
is right.
Coordination with the lifters in the second rows. We know there's a lot of moving parts to a lineout, whatever, but it's definitely something that has to be gotten right. And you know, you can't always find the hooker. He's the first.
The dart has to be right.
Yes, he's the first person to release the wide pitcher in baseball. It's that the responsibility lies with them, you know? Okay, as for the other two, I mean, I thought James Tracy, when he had his chances to play last season, I thought he did really well. Now, he's had troubles with injury and stuff, but he's 30 years old now. He's had a lot of experience at all kinds of levels. He's no mean guy to have in, you know, European, any kind of levels.
No, you're not gonna look at that and say, we won't bother. I mean, there's a good player, you know, who's strong. He's got the confidence, he's got the experience, and he just needs now to bring that to every opportunity he gets.
Mm-hmm.
I expect, in reality, he will be. I would expect Kelleher to be first choice, and Tracy to be second. That would be my expectation. Again, on those big match occasions, that's what I'd see happening.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you've got a player coming off who, if he gets his set piece right and everything starts ticking nicely, and then suddenly you realize, okay, we're okay, everything's solid, I'm doing my job right. So now I support the rest of the players to do their job right, and we can make something happen.
Yep.
Which I think is how Leinster's been working really well. You know, everybody, it's not just that everybody knows this is my job and I will do my job, but it's I'll do my job right so that I can support the others, knowing I've done what I had to, and to make sure I'm there for him in case something doesn't happen for him.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, it's last and definitely not least with Dan Sheehan. I mean, he's kind of he's another breakout player last year. Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like he looks like a wrecking ball when he gets to it. What is he? He's about 6'3".
Mm.
So he's a big lad. You wouldn't have been surprised to see someone like him playing. Now, the first time you see him out warming up, you might be looking and thinking, oh, we got another back row player. And then you thought, oh, he's in the front row. Because he's big and he's mobile and he's well able. I think he's really got, again, a bit like Kelleher. You know, you look at the places he's popped up and the places he's scored tries. And it strikes you as, if he has his darts right, he is the ultimate package. And I think Sheehan's coming along in exactly the same way. Mm. That if he gets all his basics right, he has enough extra to add to be a real threat for Leinster.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's a great set of four players there. I mean, I think you're spot on with obviously Kelleher. I think would be the front runner to start all the big matches, but yeah, probably Tracy there to back him up. But I mean, you wouldn't any two out of those four, you'd be grand, you know, starting any kind of a match. So there's a lot to look forward to there. And then we've got in the academy there, John McKeely, Barron. They're just, you know, they're youngsters starting out. They might get one or two spots on the bench. You never know, but you just hope they get rugby, like we've been saying about all the academy players. They do get some rugby throughout the season. Okay, now to the number three position, which is really the I mean, it's the big one. It's like I don't even know it. We looked at the back row. We thought we were well stocked. We looked at the back three, saying we were well stocked. But you know, for this specific position, I mean, you know, already having Furlong and Porter, who would be starting for Leinster, starting two for Ireland, probably possibly starting two for Lions, if that could have happened.
Yeah, save for a toe injury.
Yeah. And just throw into the mix Michael Alatoa. I just wanted to be able to say that right for the first time. There's some great options there. And, you know, with the two boys, we're going to be away with the test side. You know, we're going to be dipping into the lower regions of the squad there, but we're still well set.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Michael Alatoa. He looks great. I mean, he's coming with that very super rugby appearance about him, which for me says, please tell me he's spent the last week and a half sitting down with our defense coaches and working on that. Because you know yourself, the super rugby players come in and it's all attack, 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 attack. So I want to see that his defense is up to scratch. And I want to see him working hard at that, because his scrummaging is solid. He'll be well able to lift anyone he wants in a line out. He'll hit rucks hard. So it's just, it'll be the defense where questions may be asked of him in the early parts of the season as he gets used to Leinster's systems and used to the how they run the ball.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. And the other thing about him is that, you know, how many times have we signed a Super Rugby player and it's been great and all, but because of the NPC and whatever, we don't actually get to see them until closer to November. I mean, this is one we've made. He's there. He's training now. He's getting to know the lads, and he's ready to start the season. Yeah. So that's
and we have.
Joining me to discuss Leinster's centre options for the 21-22 season is getting his 21st cap on the pod today. A warm welcome to the man himself, Mr. Neil Keogh Keegan.
How are we? This is coming to you from my son's in Waterford, where we have no Wi-Fi, full of life. So
straight over the border into Munster, but we'll forgive you that for once. You're in enemy territory, but sure, we'll let that go just for today. Okay, well, that brings us on to what we are going to talk about today. We've given you the centres to look at, a very, very important, like you say, very important position, particularly for Leinster. And what was interesting last season was we kind of had two ways of approaching the position. We didn't have the same way the whole season. I think when Harry Byrne was playing, he tended to have a more creative 12 outside of him. But when you've got someone like Robbie Henshaw on your side, he's only going to play one way in the 12 jersey, the way he plays, he's going to make it suit you. So looking at the overall stocks of players we have, how do you think things are going to shape up this year?
It's an amazing job what Leon the Lad done over the last 24 months. We've obviously seen everyone who's on the list. So the list you gave me, there's Robbie Henshaw, Rory O'Loughlin, Gary Ringrose, Conor O'Brien, Kieran Foley, David Hawkshaw, and then we've got the Academy guys, Liam Turner and Jamie Osborne. I think, but all of them have had some blue jersey action that we would have seen. Robbie Henshaw's are untouchable. They'd be untouchable in every team. And so the starting off with a question to you, this is the trick and this is the issue for Leo and the coaching ticket, keeping everyone interested, because we've got what, 2, 4, 6 plus 2 names there, all of high quality. But if everyone's fit, we know who's picked. So it's a matter of keeping people interested. And I think that's going to be the interesting thing over, as I said, the 5 years where we've got the United Nations Cup or whatever it's called now, and we've got the Heineken Cup. I do feel we're going to start a split now in our 1A pairing and our 1B pairing. And I do feel we're going to get more game time out of guys like Frawley, who I feel the worry with himself and O'Loughlin is there's going to be a rush to get them on the pitch. So you play them at 12 and or 13 or 15 or 11 or 14, where I think if they split it, and again, this is ordinary level rugby here, J4, but I think if they say, right, boys, you get most of the league games in 12 and 13, but we've got to be honest with you, when the chips are down, it's going to be, and injuries are not a question, it's going to be Ringrose and it's going to be Henshaw. But I do feel it's going to be interesting over the next long term to see how we keep these guys interested, because the skill level is massive. Frawley is unbelievable. O'Loughlin is unbelievable. And even you look all the way down to Osborne, who's done the job. It's a matter of keeping them in the game. And that's going to be the interesting part long term.
Absolutely. Well, one of the keys about it, and I've already done a few of these interviews for other positions. And one of the things we found is that there's a lot of crossover amongst the positions. And that kind of keeps the interest up as well. I mean, we're talking, this is a list that's been put together on the Babbling Brook forum showing their contracts, and they've split them up into positions. But as we all know, especially, from watching last season, a lot of these players have played in other positions. I mean, Frawley came up as a 10. Even Gary Ringrose has played as 10. Rory O'Loughlin's played on the wing. They've all, like Hawkshaw can do 10 as well. Osborne can play fullback. You can play a bit of 13, 12. They've all kind of moved around. And it's not just in the backs. It actually spills into the forwards a little bit as well, because what you've got is, we were talking a situation where I talked to Keno about the back rows, and we've got so much talent in the back row that you might see us using a lot more 6-2 splits on the bench in matches. And what that means is that we're going to need players starting who can play a few positions. If there's injuries in the backs, we need a guy who's already starting who can play 10 if the 10 goes down, and things like that, because we've less options on the bench. So it all kind of feeds throughout the team. You need the talent, and as you say, if there's injuries, other people are going to have to step up, but they're going to need a plan to keep everyone interested without it. Now, we know we're going to be without Henshaw and Ringrose in particular quite a bit. Those November internationals, Six Nations, the camps, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to need to use the wider squad. And in terms of injuries, Conor O'Brien has been injured a lot the last couple of years. He was a great carrying prospect. He's sort of a backup Robbie in a way, if he reaches his full potential. So you've got him. But if we play that other style, you've got Frawley, who can be creative. He can play a creative 12. So you've kind of got two on the pitch. And there's Jimmy O'Brien as well. He can play that creative role from fullback if he wants.
Yeah.
So you've got all these options. It's almost limitless. Liam Turner did play a little bit last year. He came on as a sub in a couple of matches. So he was in that. He's kind of, and him and Hawkshaw, they're that kind of next generation coming through. So they'll definitely be looking to push on. And another thing we heard from other pods as well was from Mark Jackson. He was saying he was hoping that with this new condensed championship with only 18 matches, to get these guys more game time, they might have to drop down and play a bit of AIL, which for the younger guys is only going to stand to them. So there's a lot of options there.
100%. The combination I'm looking forward to is Frawley and Ringrose. I don't know why I have it in my head, but I think Frawley 12, Ringrose 13. I think there's so much creativeness, and the opposition won't know how to play it, basically, because the two boys can play. They both have histories at 10. They know how the game is run. I think that's massive. Like you said, I think it's massively important the players are able to do other things. But I also think the worry here is, and I know you're being positive and maybe I'm being negative here and I apologize, but I do worry if we play players, you know, Frawley's play 10, so we can play him at 10. We need him at 12, 13. We're going to need him in there. Why not get him on the pitch in that position as often as possible? So that's the riddle for the coaching ticket. These guys need game time, but we also know the pecking order. For me, I think the breakout guy out of below the top two, the breakout guy is obviously Frawley, I feel. But I also, the worry I have with him is a bit like Luke Fitzgerald back in the day where he could play anywhere. He was so talented. Don't tell Luke I said this, but he could play anywhere. And Frawley's falling into that as well. He could almost go back if Keenan comes off with a hamstring injury. He could roll in there at 15 and run the game as well. So that's the problem. But we need to keep people interested. We need to keep people in the position. We're almost going with, okay, Frawley, we're going to start you at a 12, but you also may be a 10, a 15, 11, or a 14. And so I don't know how that affects people as they're about to come on. They could be coming on in one of five positions. I don't know if that changes, especially with pressure, especially Heineken Cup quarterfinal. He comes on and he's coming on at 11. It's a different game. You know, it's a very, very different game. So that's the interesting thing. And that's what I'm looking forward to over the next 5-6 years, because even Jamie Osborne in his class, he can do a job. And it's all, you kind of go, when do you put him in the game? Because another province or another team will look at him and say, he's got experience in blue. He's got league game play. Let's take him and let's see what we can do with him. Knowing that if it doesn't work, we can send him back in 2 years. And obviously in that 2 years, Leinster would have generated 150 more midfielders. So, you know, I just find that the midfield is the most difficult part to manage on the pitch. I know back row, you've got just sheer volume of players. But the problem here is we don't have enough for that game to be played. So it's going to be interesting to see. Like, how would you do it if you had, let's say Ringrose or Henshaw is injured. So let's just say Ringrose takes a little bit of time to come back. So Henshaw comes back post-November. So January, we're in January. We're allowed to go to games again. Fingers crossed. Henshaw starts. Do you throw Frawley in there? Or do you say, Frawley, your utility back, you're a 13, you're a 10, you're 11, you're 14, you're 15. How would you manage that as a coach?
It depends on the opposition, I guess. I mean, with these South African sides coming in, and they're all kind of man monsters, whatever the position is, you're talking a different type of game. You're gonna be talking. You'd want your Robbie Henshaw in there, and that's why I think it's important if we can get Conor O'Brien fit and firing the way the potential he showed when he first came up through the ranks. He's never really had a good string of games. Mm-hmm. At any stage of any season, if we can get him playing to his potential, he'd be a good guy to put in there at 12 as well. I mean, Frawley's big. He's a big guy and he's physical as well, and he's got that side of his game. It's just that it'd be kind of a waste of his brain to put him in there as a strong man. So it would depend on the opposition. I think at the risk of saying, for the Dragons and the Zebras of the league, that's a good time to experiment with a bit more creativity. And they did that last year. They had Frawley backing up Harry Byrne. He had that couple of extra options as well. I think it's important also for Harry to get used to the bulkier centers as well, to that kind of traditional kind of running power kind of kind of game as well. So, you know, you need to mix and match, and it's, but I suppose what I do is, if I was looking for the creativity, I think they have Frawley kind of nailed down is at 12 now. We've got three tens. I think it's more of a case of it's Frawley is there sort of as a backup. In terms of keeping them happy, I think, you know, at the risk of, you know, gushing and having the blue underpants on, whatever, but I mean, they're so happy to be in a Leinster squad that they're happy playing. We were talking about Harry Byrne, how good it is for him. Mm-hmm. Just think of the brains that are around him at the moment and the influence he has on him. He's got Felipe Contepone, he's got Johnny Sexton, he's got his big brother there in the squad. And on what you're saying about the versatility trap, that is definite. The Luke Fitzgerald did it, Ian Madigan did it. It's very possible that Frawley could be the next one falling into that. But it's kind of a thing where teams do need that. It's a 23, the 23 syndrome, you know, where you're a handy guy to have on the bench wearing 23 in case you need to fill three or four different positions. And it's kind of, it's not what anyone plays rugby to want to be, but at the professional game, that role has come up. So so Frawley could actually end up falling into that slot. But it's good to have all the options anyway. And Rory O'Loughlin is another one I think we need to bring into the play. His game has come on. He's been quietly there in the background. He's 27. He's actually older than Gary Ringrose. But he's never disappointed. And again, he's another one who needs a run of games without injury. And when you're talking, if we don't have Henshaw, if we don't have Ringrose, if we could sort of toggle between either Frawley and O'Brien, depending on what we're looking for from our 12, and O'Loughlin, regular 13, I think that's a powerful second string.
Oh, it is 100%. And the only thing I would throw at you is And these guys are professionals. They know what the story is. They're going to be well prepped. I'm just thinking quarterfinal, semifinal, final, without jinxing anything. There are going to be players that we speak about who won't get a league medal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's something off the pitch that needs to be managed psychologically, because they do the work. They're well worth the medal, but they're just not going to get there. So let's say we take Ringrose and Henshaw off. They're all nailed on. So we're talking Frawley and we're talking O'Brien. We've also got... Now, Hawkshaw's a little bit younger again, as you said, and he's never disappointed. So you're kind of going, these games that we pick for you are going to be lesser games. We're talking psychology-wise here. They're contributing, obviously, off the pitch in training. They're contributing anytime they show up. But it's how often is a player going to, and we can't answer this, how often is a player going to be able to answer that call when they know Leinster are already going to be 30 points up, for example? You can't show your stuff when the other team is going backwards and frightened. It's like Ross Byrne in the Ireland jersey. He's never had a shot when they're going forward. You know, he's never had a real shot. So, you know, it's the same worry with the centre partnership. I do love the Frawley and O'Brien combination. If they could get, you know, what is it, September to December, so they get, there'd be a first round of a Heineken in there as well. So we need Henshaw and or Ringrose back in at that stage. But by that stage, they'll be running a team. The worry is the rest of the guys. So, okay, Liam Turner, we're kind of discussing as long term. And I think that's fair. And that once that's made clear to him, I guess he's got to then decide, am I happy to be a long term player in a blue jersey with the best players around me, the best players in my position to learn from, and the guarantee of gameplay if I perform? I'm just thinking, as a professional player earning professional money, how easy that would be. I don't know. Maybe I've been on holidays too long. Mm-hmm. It's the thinking of, I have to go and give everything, but I will not get a shot. Mm-hmm. How would the coaching guys pick that? Because yeah, we don't have a lot of centers, but they all have to be kept interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's always a tough thing. I mean, we know that, like, Leo gets to 50, 52 players used in a season. Mm. So it's and I think he's it, a lot of it's down to him and his personality. He's always got that kind of a persona where whenever he has a one-on-one chat with you, from what I've heard, he always makes you feel that, you know, you are wanted, you are integral to the squad. But it's important to use other teams as well. Like I say, maybe drop down to AIL. I think that needs to be spun in a positive way, a bit like the way football teams send younger players out on loan to other teams. This is where you're going to get more game time. Another thing that Mark pointed out as well is that the younger kids like Jamie Onsmore, you're playing with the men in that club rugby, and you're going to get the odd digs here and there. It's a lot more physical, a lot more traditional style of rugby that's going to help them in the long run and prepare them for the bigger games. Like you say, there's only so much you can learn from a 50-point blowout week in, week out at some stage of the season. So there's that option. A good A competition as well. And by good, I mean, I don't just mean a range of matches every third Friday or Saturday where there's a gap in the schedule. I mean, a block of games, 6 weeks, interprovincials, maybe everyone play everyone else. And the coach has given a squad of players and say, there you go, you can have them and get them for about 6 weeks or whatever. Things like that can help with the players' development. So hopefully there'll be options like that as well. And of course, there'll be a Six Nations 20s, under 20s as well, that some of these will get game time. One last thing just to talk about is a few extra options at center. We've been talking about crossover players, and we did the back three. I did the back three with the Leinster Royalty there yesterday. And there's a few options there. You've got Tommy O'Brien, who can play in the center as well. Jordan Lommers, no stranger, 13. Jimmy O'Brien as well. You know, there's a lot of options there. So if like you say, if there are injuries, or if we do commit someone to maybe play a bit of time in the A team or the under 20s, or they're gone away for those amount of times, we do have a lot of options we can play around with. So there's plenty to go from there.
100%. And I think I wrote on my phone is for notes for today, Jordan Larmer, center. I didn't have any sort of information behind that. I've had weird dreams lately, and I can only imagine Henshaw and Larmer and the magic that would happen there. The problem is there might be so much magic that the rest of the team may not be able to follow the magic. That's part of the problem is the wrong word. Part of the genius of Larmer, his feet should have an OnlyFans account. He can find space where you can see his own team, whether it's green or blue, looking around going, I was not expecting this. So if we could harness Larmer, Brennan is very different to Larmer at 15, and I think he's nailed on in whatever jersey he puts on. It's been amazing the job he's done. And so you kind of go, right, if we're talking utility player, I would suggest, again, ordinary level rugby, Frawley wouldn't be that utility player. Larmer would be that utility player. So Larmer's got experience, obviously, 15, 11, 14. Okay, that's fine. But imagine putting Larmer in beside Henshaw at various points throughout the season, and how another team would defend that. Because, okay, Henshaw does the job. He does what he does, and he's amazing at it. He's been on a run of form that very few players are on. But if you put Larmer beside him, it would be just a different level in the blue jersey. And I think that's something we could investigate. I think Frawley, I don't think Frawley would be the utility guy. I think we put Larmer as the utility guy, and he gets in every squad forever. And I think that would be a great way to get him on the pitch, get Henshaw on the pitch, and kind of lead the way in terms of creativity. Frawley can pop in there and be, he's not obviously, there's no one who, very few who would be as creative as Larmer, but he's a different flavor. And I think I'm trying to phrase this the right way so that no one gets offended. They're different players. But I just think about Larmer at midfield with Henshaw right there. I think that's frightening for any opposition.
Definitely. Well, there's certainly loads of options there anyway. And, you know, apart from a marquee too, like, I mean, I think we're pretty much all agreed that if we have a team, if we picked a team, gun to our heads for any Heineken quarterfinal, semifinal, whatever, it's going to be Henshaw and Ringrose. But when you're looking at the season as a whole, you're going to need all that option. And they showed last year they can have the variety, you know, depending on who they're playing against or what their plan is. So there's really a lot for us to look forward to throughout the season. I suppose at this stage, we don't really care who's wearing the jerseys. at this moment. Once they just get out there and play. So hopefully we'll find out more about that the next couple of weeks. But listen, man, thanks a million for coming on. That was brilliant. We're going to do a few more of these now before the season starts. And then, like I say, fingers crossed, we'll have some rugby to do eventually. We'll get you back on again. So we'll talk to you then, sir. Okay.
Absolutely. Everyone stay safe, and hopefully we'll all be in a stadium soon.
Brilliant. Take it easy, man. Thank you. Thanks again to Connor and Keigo for the chats. I have more lined up featuring conversations with fans of other teams from the URC, so keep an eye on the podcast feed for more over the next week or so. And if you missed the ones we've done so far, you can check those out too. Before I sign off, here's the Leinster Matchday squad as chosen by my panel of contributors. 15, Hugo Keenan. 14, Dave Carney. 13, Gary Ringrose. 12, Robbie Henshaw. 11, James Lowe. 10, Johnny Sexton. 9, Jemison Gibson-Park. 1, Cian Healy. 2, Ronan Kelleher. 3, Tadhg Furlong. 4, James Ryan, captain. 5, Ryan Baird. 6, Quaylen Doris. 7, Dan Levy. 8, Rhys Ruddock. And the bench, 16, James Tracy. 17, Ed Byrne. 18, Andrew Porter. 19, Devon Toner. 20, Josh van der Flayer. 21, Luke McGrath. 22, Ross Byrne. 23, Jordan Larmer. Yes, somehow we couldn't find a way to get Jack Conan into that squad, and that's just how difficult, that just shows how difficult the task was overall. Anyway, that's all for now. I hope you subscribe to future pods, and in the meantime, stay safe, everyone. Slán.